Morning. My name is Aiden King, and I'm a youth group president along with Kieran. I was introduced to Southport Congregational Church at the age of 6. Life was confusing for me then. Before this moment, I would attend a Catholic church about a minute down the road with my sister and my hardworking single mother. Honestly, I would dread it. Despite being so young, I knew it just didn't feel right there. Now here I was with my mother's weird new boyfriend, Paul DePrado, who was introducing us to his church community, Southport Congregational Church. I thought this would be a one-time experience. The concept of concrete things was not yet fully constructed in my mind. But as the weeks went on, I kept returning. Those weeks turned into months and then some years. As time went on, I started to become more comfortable with being here. And although I didn't attend the same schools as everyone else, I began to create bonds. My first big memory at this church was the day my mother and Paul married each other. Although I knew it was coming, this moment is what truly signified to me that I was going to be here for a while. And although I was still incredibly reluctant to show up to the church, as most 10-year-olds are, I noticed that once I was here, I felt at peace. I loved singing all the songs, going to church school, and getting to know new people. Still, though, the church did not mean all that much to me yet. For some reason, the idea of religion had intimidated me from a very young age. I'd always been the type of person to rely on absolutes, and to me, worship was filled with what I saw as commitments and unknowns. I had subconsciously pressured myself into believing that religion had only one strict dimension, the one that I had previously known. I would come to find that this couldn't be more incorrect, and at a very dire time in my life. At around 7th or 8th grade, I began to struggle with my mental health. Most of the days would be spent in my room with the lights turned off, alone with just my thoughts. I constructed these ideas that I must fight my issues built up inside me by myself. It would be burdensome to weigh others down with my imperfections. As you could probably infer, this ideology only made the way I felt worse. And over time, I made it clear to myself that something needed to be changed. This marked the beginning of me going to confirmation class. According to my friends in Milford, confirmation was a long, boring process that they were glad to be done with. So you can only imagine my initial reluctance to begin these classes. Once again, my narrow-mindedness had led me to be incorrect. What I found in confirmation class was an honest conversation between all the kids in my grade, something that is very rare at that age. I saw kids with very different backgrounds and interests all getting along under the concept of trust, even though we knew each other for so little. This commonality continued as time went on. From all the mission trips to every youth group meeting, I have never felt that connection fade. This was the most perfect form of therapy I could ask for. I began to become eager to attend church events, which now makes me laugh because I can remember a few years ago on Youth Sunday when Sam Palmer spoke in this exact spot. He talked about his commitment to being here and how his teammates would call him church boy since he would never miss service no matter the occasion. I thought that was crazy at the time. But nowadays, I couldn't be more proud to say that I understand and relate to why he made that commitment. I believe that every person on this earth deserves a place where they can feel happy and at peace, a place where they can vent about their issues and at the same time celebrate their feats. But in reality, I understand that so many people don't find this place until deep into their lifetime and sometimes never at all. That is why I am so eternally grateful to have found that place at the age of 6 years old. When I was given my children's Bible after third grade, I read it at least 10 times. Actually, I still have it to this day. One of my favorite stories that I always come back to was titled Jesus and the Child, and I'd actually like to read it out to you. Sometimes the disciples had arguments. Jesus likes me better than you. He does not. Does so. When Jesus gets to be king, I'll be his favorite. You will not, I will so. Jesus felt very sad when he heard his friends arguing. Come here, Jesus said to the disciples. I want to show you something. Jesus went to where some children were playing. One child was sitting alone. Why aren't you playing with the other children? Jesus asked. They won't let me, said the child. Why? Jesus asked. Because my legs hurt. I can't run. I get sick if I run hard. Jesus picked up the child up in his arms. Then he said to the disciples, do you see this child? Of course. I want you to become like this child. Unless you can be like a little child, you will not be a part of God's shalom. I don't get it, said Peter. Someday you will, Peter, said Jesus. But for now, just remember, when you are being kind to a child, you are being kind to me. Peter blinked. He could see how Jesus loved the child. Here's something else to think about, Peter, said Jesus. In God's shalom, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Then Jesus looked at the child. I'd like it if you could play with me. What do you like to play best of all? I always love finding stories that portray such powerful messages in simple terms. In this case, authentic love. The exact type of love I feel every time I step into this church. From a nice talk with Julie, to partaking in events with my friends in youth group, to embracing an amazing hug from Laura, I can feel the authentic love of a child playing his favorite game. And now I ask for you all to embrace that love for one another, because I know that some people may very well be needing it. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Kieran Heskey, and as Aiden mentioned, I'm the other youth group president. I've grown up in this church for most of my life, and so many memories have come from the mission trip to the lands of the Redshirt Table in South Dakota in summer of 2019. As many of you know, we were on a mission trip to support the education of the indigenous tribes and help them find a way to survive and strive to go to school. Crime and drugs filled the culture, the schools, and it was a popular and easy route for most families that needed help. We taught all academic subjects to any children who were willing to learn. But don't get me wrong, this trip wasn't all about teaching and a mission to get these kids to go to school. We had wiffle ball games, dinners at chuck wagons, and even group bondings. Yes, this trip was hard work and giving back, but it was also a really special time to build deep and long-lasting friendships. The annual ice cream was a 14-year tradition at the end of the trip, where everyone asked the date to go get ice cream. And it was truly one of the highlights of the trip. There was this one girl in the group, Hannah, I was always impressed by. She was so kind to everyone, and even the group tribal children. And her positive energy was motivating to everyone. She had been named president of the youth group because of her amazing dedication to the group, her leadership skills, and her love for helping others. She was super popular and really cool, and I cherished her having her as a friend. I don't think I would have been up close to her if it wasn't for this mission trip. The other person on this trip that means the world to me was my friend Jake Panis. I had met him on a random Sunday morning at church when we were both about 10, and we really hit it off. We both shared the same loves for lacrosse, football, and we had a lot of classes together in high school. And Jake was really special to me. You know, he was always someone who was honest, lived life to the fullest, and his smile really lit up the room. He was great and always had practical jokes and loved to laugh. And like Hannah, he was really popular with the group of kids. One of my favorite memories I would like to share with you about Jake is that he really likes to show his fun side. This is about a special event that occurs on the last night of the mission trip, the ice cream social. When this event began, it was a simple, would you like to go to ice cream social with me, kind of question. But over the years, it became equally elaborate as promposals. People brainstorm cool and exciting ways to impress their potential date. Writing poems, creating new words, old songs, dressing up, asking over the loudspeakers in stores, you get the idea. Jake, being only a freshman, had the guts to ask Hannah to the ice cream social. He asked a group of boys, including me, if his plan to ask Hannah to the ice cream social was a good idea. Our first thoughts were, wow, I mean, that's crazy, but go for it. So Jake created a plan. Later that day, we were all outside playing in the backyard games, playing wiffle ball. The next thing we know, Jake had climbed onto the top of the roof of the cabin. He called out for everyone's attention, and he started singing The Best of Both Worlds by Hannah Montana. And then spread his arms wide open and shouted, Hannah, will you go to the ice cream social with me? Everyone was in awe, including her, and she smiled and said yes. I looked at Jake standing above us with his signature smile and thought to myself, how does one do it? How does one have the guts to be so confident? Jake was warm, confident, and always found a creative way to make his friends feel special. The next summer, Jake was on vacation with his friends on a Sunday, August 9th. He was in a car when the driver had a drunk driving accident. This was devastating to everyone. I found out about this about an hour later, and it honestly left me in shock for months and pretty much up until this day. Jake was a friend to everyone, and this loss of an angel of a kid destroyed everyone. Jake's magnificent, free spirit, the joy he brought to people around him, the awe I had for him was the same thing that added this to the terrible accident. Jake was a leader both in church and school, which left a hole in most things. I felt that this was something that the whole community felt and needed time to heal. Jake was honestly such an inspiration to me, and after he died, I came to the realization that I wanted to be more like him. I wanted to embrace some of those qualities that made Jake who he was, so that he could live in me. Jake was a leader and a role model in most things. I was a bit more on the sideline. He loved this church. I came to youth group, but not much more. I wanted to see what my life was like if I incorporated a bit more of Jake's spirit in my life. So I started to attend church every Sunday morning and his youth group at night. And this got me on the track where I felt that church was another home for me, and the people were like family to me and good friends. This past summer, our mission trip to the reservation in South Dakota was canceled due to COVID. But instead, we stayed local and learned about three local indigenous tribes: the Eastern Pequot Tribe, the Mashantucket Pequot, and the Sagatukuk. On this mission trip, besides learning about the history and the present situations of these tribes, we did a huge giveaway. We learned a lot about them and had a great time. I felt a real call to show my leadership and skills and help Laura and Julie and Allie whenever I could. I was rewarded with being named the new president of the youth group along with Aiden, and it really made me think of how none of this would have been possible if I didn't have Jake's life to motivate me. It's interesting to me that I have become the student and the person who is a leader and a self-advocate of his life because of the tragic loss of one of my best friends. And now I realize that I've been able to have self-confidence now. I'm able to help people in need and be more like the person Jake was. We all understand that accidents happen, but that doesn't make this death any easier. We miss Jake today, and honestly, we miss him a lot when we are here at church because he is loved here. I will be forever thankful to him for giving me the gift of love at this church. In behalf of all the youth group of this church, I want to thank all of you for doing that for us. Amen.